perfect
there
movie.
There you go. Here. Like Logan said, my name is Hannah. I'm the kids pastor here at the City campus. And I've been at City for about 2 years now and loving life. Anybody love City campus? Come on. I love the City campus and I'm excited to share what God's put on my heart for today. And Pastor Ben, thank you for the opportunity. I love being on your team with Emma and I'm biased, but I said at City Campus is the best campus, and we have the best team, and so I just love it here, and I'm excited to share what God's put on my heart. And today, we're talking all about taste and see. Anybody ever heard about taste and see before? Praise God, praise God. Well, before we jump right in, I'm going to pray, so would you bow your heads with me? We want the Lord to speak to us today. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you, God, that we're here. And we're in the room and we're ready to listen and receive from you, God. So I just pray, Lord, that you would speak through me. Lord, that it wouldn't be my words, but Holy Spirit, you be moving and active and changing our hearts today, Lord. We love you and we want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hey, so y'all probably wonder why I got a little lunchbox up here, am I right? Anybody else bring their lunchbox? This is my roommate's, praise God. And I brought my lunchbox up here because we're talking all about taste and see today, right? And typically, when you hear that, you're like, oh, so food's great, praise God. So, I thought I would bring some of my favorite foods here today, and maybe y'all resonate with me. So, bear with me here while I whip out some of my favorite foods. We got raspberries. Any raspberry fans? Praise God. They're half empty because that was my breakfast. Love it. All right, anybody? Fans. Fans? Cheddar potato chips? Honestly, they're the best. If you don't like the cheddar, I'm sorry. You're missing out. All right, what do we got next? Ferrari Rochers? Anybody? Y'all, I don't really know how to pronounce these, but I say Ferrero Rocher. Yeah? These are so good. If you've never tried them, I might give them to you after service because I think everybody should try them. This, you're gonna laugh at me. I'm not a child, but I work with children, so I do eat go-go squeezes. Am I the only one? Anybody else? Go-go squeezes? Okay, praise God. Pastor Ben is with me. We eat some go-go squeezes. Amen. And last but not least, I love guacamole. Anybody? I may be biased, but I think I'm the best person to make guacamole. So maybe if you come over to my house, I can make some. Praise God. Hey, so I showed you some of my favorite foods because we're talking all about taste and see. And I thought since I showed you my favorites, obviously I'd show you some that I think are absolutely disgusting. And maybe you agree with me. So we got some foods up on the screen you can take a look at. The first one is sauerkraut. Anybody with me? Yeah. Nasty. Horrible. I cannot eat sauerkraut. All right, what do we got next? Olives. I don't want green olives, I don't want black olives, I don't want any kind of olives. Nasty. And this may look good, but it is tofu. Anybody tofu fans, be honest. We love you. We love you still, but I don't agree. Next, we got cantaloupe. Honestly, I'm convinced this is the worst fruit ever. If you're going to eat a melon, eat watermelon. You know what I'm saying? We don't get down with cantaloupe. And then last but not least, seafood! Yeah. All right, that may only be me, but I'm just saying, I had a nightmare about seafood the other night. My parents were trying to force me to eat it, and I said, get behind me, Satan. I do not eat seafood. But hey, if y'all love it, I'm happy for you. Praise God. I just can't get down with it. But hey, today we're talking all about taste and see. And I'll be really straight with you. Sauerkraut, I've never actually tasted it before. Okay, but I have a story to go along with it. When I was younger, my mom used to make hot dogs, and she was like, oh my gosh, we should put some sauerkraut on the hot dogs. Praise God. And I was like, what is that nasty smell in the house? It reeks. Sauerkraut reeks. And so I was very turned off by the smell of it, so therefore have never tried it. And honestly, probably never will because I had a horrible experience. Have you ever had a horrible experience with the food before? Yeah? Where you're like, the next day it's just rough. We've all been there, right? Are you going with me? Okay. So, I've had experiences with food, and today, as we're talking all about taste and see, I love this verse, and it comes out of, I lost my verse, praise God, Psalm 34, verse 8, you can write this down with me. It says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." So this is the verse that we're speaking from today, and to title my message, you can title it, "I Can Taste and See." I can taste and see. And taste and see, in my eyes, often refers to an experience that we've had. Where typically if you experience something and it's not a good experience, you're probably like, "Oh, I don't ever want to experience that again," right? It's kind of my situation with sauerkraut. But if you had a good experience with something, you're like, "Maybe I'll go again." I was talking with Katie and Pastor Ben, and we were saying, like, you know how you have Chipotle every now and then, and sometimes it just hits. Like, it hits the mark. You're like, "This is the best Chipotle I've ever had in my whole life." And then other times you go and you're like, "What happened? Like, what's up with these chips? They're nasty. The steak is just chewy." No. And sometimes you have a bad experience. But we typically all go back because y'all know Chipotle is the best. But after you've experienced something, you typically come to a conclusion, either I want to experience this again or I don't. And so this happens, I think, a lot with food for us, right? But I think that this also can happen with God and with the church and our relationship with him. And oftentimes, if you had a bad experience with something, you're like, "Ooh, never again." And I think in the perspective of when you're following Jesus or God, if you don't know Jesus and you're not walking with him, you may have an off experience with him of like, "Well, God didn't meet my expectations in this area of my life," or "He disappointed me in this way, and so now I have a skewed perspective and kind of a bitter taste in my mouth about who God is, or does he provide, or is he really who he say he is?" And I don't know if you're in here and you've had a bad experience with God, but I'm excited because today we get to talk about the Lord's goodness and that we can taste and see that he is good. And one little point I wrote down that I just thought was so good is when I read the verse, "Taste and see that the Lord is good," I see two parts to it. First, I see taste, and then I see see. I'm like, "Okay, Lord." Taste, in my eyes, that's on us. That's our responsibility. And see is the portion where we will see the result. And taste often takes two steps. And we're going to go through these points together, but there's also another passage in Scripture that I do want to read. But before we do that, I'm going to take a sip of water. So if y'all want to take a sip with me, go for it. Bottoms up, Pastor Ben. All right. The scripture we're turning to is John chapter 1, verse 35 through 39, and it should be on the screen for you to follow along. This is in the Gospels. It says, "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi, where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went away and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon." And this verse in Scripture, I can't help but tie it to taste and see that the Lord is good, because at the time when this was written, Jesus had just came onto the scene, and the people that they're referring to are the disciples. And at the time, Jesus was inviting the disciples to come and be a part of what he was about to do. And I love this passage because I think if the disciples had said no, like, "Actually, no, Jesus, we're not going to come, we're going to opt out, we don't really know who you are, this is weird," the church wouldn't be what it is today. But the disciples stepped out in faith, and they went with Jesus. Jesus said, "Come," and they said, "Okay, we're going to come with you." And the church began to form, and God began to use them, and they began to see the blessings of God unfold in their life. But they had to step out in faith and trust that Jesus was good and that he had something in store for them. And it was an invitation that Jesus had laid out for them. Because how many of you know Jesus doesn't require us? He's a good father. He doesn't require us like, "You have to follow me or else." No, that's not what Jesus is. He invites us into a relationship with him. And that's what he was doing with the disciples. And I wonder if you've ever been to something, I know I have, where you've been invited to go to something, but you're like, "Oh, I've never been before. Oh, I don't want to go. Like, I don't know about myself. This guy's scary. goes to high school, middle school. It's like the first day. They're like, okay, get on the bus. And you're like, oh, gosh, I don't know anybody. You're like sitting by yourself. But you're like invited to something, and you don't know what you're getting into, but you actually choose to not go instead because you're like, I don't want to do this or be a part of it. And this leads me to my first point, which is don't allow your lack of experience to keep you from stepping out. Oh, great, it's on the screen. Don't allow your lack of experience to keep you from stepping out. And like we said in John chapter 1, when Jesus invited the disciples to come and be a part of his story, what he was going to begin to unfold, I wonder if the disciples had said no, what would have happened? I'm sure God's God, so God would have done something, but they stepped out in faith and they were obedient, even though they never experienced who this Jesus guy was. They had no idea who he was. But Jesus first said, come, and he asked the disciples to step out. And I think for us, in the reverse of taste and see, the taste portion, this is point one, where that's on us to step out. Because Jesus is good, and you will taste and see his goodness, but it requires you to play a part in that. And it requires you to step out. And a situation I think of, I'm sure many of us in the room can relate to this, where we do small groups here at River Valley, and we want people to come and be a part. And how many of you have ever been to a small group? Well, you've been invited. And you're like, I don't know anybody. Like, I don't know anybody. I may be the only one, maybe not. But that is so intimidating for me. I'm like, I don't know if I'm a group I've never been before. I don't know anyone. Like, I've never experienced this before. But, and there's been times where I've opted out and decided not to go out of fear. But there's times where I have gone, and after I go, I'm like, what in the world was I thinking? I totally would have missed out on meeting new people, on gaining new friendships, and on diving deeper into my faith if I had just stepped out and not allowed fear to hold me back. And fear is actually talked about a lot in Psalm 34. David wrote it, and I think sometimes when we hear the term fear the Lord, sometimes I can be like, okay, God, I fear you. I'm afraid. Like, I'm hiding. Interesting. That is not the kind of fear that the Bible is referencing. The kind of fear that he's talking about is fearing God, like, God, you are so good, and I'm in awe and reverence of you, and I honor you. So the fear that I have is actually fear that you are so good and I want you to be on the throne of my heart and on my life. Not, oh my gosh, God, I'm so fearful. No. Because oftentimes, on the opposite side of our fear is actually blessing. And it's actually getting to see God's faithfulness. So I wonder if we stopped allowing fear to lead us and to guide us and we stepped into different things and experiences that God has, we would begin to see God's goodness poured out in our lives. Amen? Amen. And let me say this. We are not people who operate in fear. That is not who we are. We do not serve a God that we need to be fearful of, but we step out in faith. And we are children of God. I've been telling people lately, I looked at someone today, I looked at Wesley, and I said, you are Wesley Schrock, man of God, child of God. That is who you are. So whoever you are, Brandy Kinsey, you're Brandy Kinsey, child of God, daughter of the King. That's who you are. You don't operate in fear. No, we do not have time for that. We don't have time for that. Nope. We're not held captive. Absolutely not. Oh, I get so passionate about that. We have a little sticky note in my bathroom that says, we do not have time. We do not have time to wait. We have to step out. God wants to use you. And so my encouragement is that you step out in faith in whatever area of your life that looks like. Point two. I'm going to get some water again while I write this down. Point two is give God some time. Give God some time. This one fires me up. You know the last one I get fired up? Praise God, we got another one. Here's the thing. We live in a world, many of us know this, this isn't a shock. We live in a world where we want to see the results right away, right? And I think of, like Pastor Logan was talking about, we give to kingdom builders, right? And you're like, okay, God, I'm going to give to kingdom builders, but tomorrow I better see a blessing, and I better see your favor in my life tomorrow. Who said you're going to receive the blessing tomorrow? Because even the scripture, it says taste and see. It doesn't say taste and you will immediately see, right now, right here, right today. It doesn't say that. Even when Jesus asked the disciples, come and follow me, come and see, he didn't say, come and the whole kingdom of God will explode. Amen. It takes time. It takes time. And here's the thing. We're in a campus where there's a lot of young people, okay? We're in a campus where there's a lot of single people, okay? I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying there's people on our campus that are single and young, okay? I'm not putting you in the box. Here's the thing. When you're single and you're young, you're probably going on dates with people. Maybe you're not young. I don't know. You're going on dates with people. You're getting to know different people. So say, here I am. I'm going out with Joe Schmo, okay? Joe Schmo's like, yo, let's go out on a date. I'm like, okay, let's go, Joe. And we go out, and the date is amazing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we should go on a second date. Praise God. We go on a second date and a third date. 20 dates down the road, we're engaged, about to be married. What did I give Joe in that time? 20 dates. I don't know if that's small or a lot. I don't know. I'm not dating a Mary Jeez. During that time, when I'm going out with Joe Schmo, I'm giving him time to show me who he is. He's giving me the time so I can get to know him. Because we're starting a relationship. Say that I'm going out with Alan. I don't know if you're out. I don't know. Alan. I'm going out with Alan, right? Alan and I are on this date. We're sitting in Chick-fil-A. No, geez. We're sitting in Chick-fil-A. Alan and I are like, yo, this isn't it. Praise God. But we gave each other some time to figure it out and to get to know each other. See, is this who I'm supposed to be with? Right? But I think we can put that in the perspective of God too. Where sometimes I think we cut short the time we'll give God so that he can show us his faithfulness and he can show us his goodness. Because it's going to take more than a day. And it's going to probably take more than a week and a month and a year. But you know what? You got to give God that time so he can show you that he is faithful and he is good in your life. And that is another point that goes into taste, I think. You need to step out, but also give him time. His timing, believe it or not, is better than your timing. He's the God of the universe. You are not. I am not. I don't know what's best for me, when it's best for me. I like to think I do, but I'm wrong. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I see this verse, and I look at it in a time context. Trust in his time for your life, not your time. Who said you need to be married by 25? Who said you need to have kids by the time you're 30? Or you need to have this job by this time? Or this by this time? Because it was not God. God did not tell you that you need to have this by this time. Maybe he did. I'm wrong. But God's time is best for your life. And so you have to let go. We have to let go of the reins of control, of trying to make things happen in the times that we want them to happen. Because he's got you. You're in the palm of his hand. He loves you, and he knows what's best for you. So give him time. If you're giving time to some guy or some girl for them to prove themselves faithful, but you're not giving that time to the Lord, you're missing out on what God has for you. You're missing out on the blessings and the favor that he has for you. And I'm saying that because he is deserving of all of who you are. Jesus sits on the throne of our hearts, not on half, not on a quarter, but the throne of our hearts. And we have a relationship with him. When you have a relationship with someone, you're getting to know them. You're spending time. You're inviting them into the areas of your life. That is the same with God. Let him in. Taste and see is a promise from God. Taste and you will see the goodness of God in your life. It's not maybe, kind of, sort of, in a week, in a year. No, you will see the goodness of God. Amen. Point three. Still with me? Praise God. This one is home. Point three, remember what you've tasted and seen. Remember what you've tasted and seen. You know, we're talking all about tasting and seeing the goodness of God in our lives and how in the taste portion, that's on us to step out and to give God time to experience the goodness that he has for our lives. But I want to take a moment because I'm sure that there's people in this room where you'd say I haven't experienced the goodness of God in my life. And I know that that's real, that there's people that are walking through real pain and real hurt, and I want to acknowledge that, and I know that it's real, and I want to encourage you that Jesus sees you right where you're at, and there has been the goodness of God in your life. And I can't tell you what's the right thing to do. I can't, you know, like, we all walk through different things. There's tough seasons that we go through, and I can't tell you step by step, this is what you need to do to taste and experience and remember the goodness of God in your life, because it's different. But Psalm 34 also says in verse 17 and 18, it says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their trouble. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And refuge, what refuge means, is it's a place of safeness and shelter. It's protection. And this verse is telling us that the Lord is our place of protection and shelter, and that He is close to the brokenhearted. And when you are walking through pain, He's with you the whole time. And I can tell you that this is true because I've walked through it myself. You know, we walk through really hard things. And about a year ago, we and my family, we lost my cousin to a motorcycle accident, who was around my age. And it was the most painful thing I've ever walked through. And I've never experienced such hurt before. But at the time, I was going to see Pastor Lindsay, which I'm sure many of you have seen on the screen before. She's amazing. Her and I were meeting and talking, and I remember sitting in an office with her, and I was just saying, Pastor Lindsay, I can't see the goodness of God. And I can't see how, if God is so good, He would let something so painful happen to the people that I love the most. And I don't know how to see God's goodness in this. And she really challenged me. She had me sit down, and she had me walk through the entire day that I found out that my cousin passed away. From the moment that I heard it, to the conversations that I had with people in my life. And she said, Hannah, did you see God's goodness here? Did you see that God was actually right next to you in the moments of pain? That when you were talking to your family and you were talking to your aunt, none of them were alone. Nobody was alone. You were not alone. Jesus was with you. But I couldn't see it. All I could see was the hurt and the pain. But sometimes we need a third person to come in and to remind us that God is good, and that we have tasted and seen the goodness of God in our lives. And I think small groups and community is such a great way for this. And, you know, I have a roommate. I was living with Katie and my friend Rachel at the time when we found out this news. And there was one night where I was at my wit's end. And you know when you're just like, I can't fight anymore, God. I do believe that you were there in those moments, and I've seen your goodness, but I can't see. It was like there was a veil over my eyes for months. And you're trying to stay strong, you're trying to do it, but you're like, I don't know if I still believe that you are good, God. And it was so tough, and I remember one night crying in bed, so broken, so hurting. And Rachel came in, and she said to me, she said, we're going to pray, because I believe that Jesus is here, and He cares for you, and He sees the hurt and the pain you're walking through. And we're praying, and I'm sitting there weeping, and she prays, Lord, I believe and I know that Hannah has seen and tasted your goodness before. And so I pray that you would remind her of your faithfulness and ways that you've been good to her in her life. And she began to pray this, and this prayer shifted things for me. For months, nothing was the same after we prayed this, and I needed somebody to remind me of the goodness of God in my life. And I'm not saying that there's not days that are still hard, because there is. And I know that there's people in this room, you're walking through pain and loss and grief, and it's real. But can I tell you that Jesus sees you, and His goodness is real, and it is for you in your life. And you might have to do a little bit of work to see it. But I'm on the other side of it, and I'll tell you that it is worth it. And that God sees you, and He knows you by name. And it literally says in the Bible that Jesus wept. He wept. So when you are in your lowest moments, and you're weeping, and you can't remember, and you can't see the goodness of God in your life, He's there with you. And He is weeping with you. And He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. It's not in His character. It's not who He is. He loves you. He loves you so much. And coming on the other side of this, I've been able to begin to see again how God has been good in my life. I've watched him provide for me financially. I've watched him restore relationships in my life and bring joy where there shouldn't have been joy. And I know that there's people in this room, you've experienced that same thing. But maybe you need a reminder that God is with you. And there are moments where he's provided and he's been good. And you might not be able to remember it, but my prayer is that you would begin to sit and remind yourself, remind your soul that we gotta get up. We gotta get up and praise the Lord like we were singing, because he is worthy. He is worthy. And I'm tired. I'm tired of us not seeing it. Because he loves you and he's good and he's faithful, and you will taste and see the goodness of God in your life. You will. It's not a question, it's a promise. But you know what? You gotta step into it. That step is on you. It's on us. And I want to take a moment to speak to the people in the room where maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've never invited him into your heart before. And Jesus loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He died on a cross so that he could have a relationship with you specifically. Every person, but he was looking and he was thinking about you when he died on the cross, because he wants you to taste and see the goodness of him and his faithfulness in your life. And so if you're in the room and you've never accepted Jesus, this is a moment for you and an opportunity that I don't want you to miss, because it's changed my life. And we will still have pain and we will still have hurt, but you know what? We serve a God who's overcome the world, and he's for you. And this relationship, it's not one that I would encourage you to opt out of. It's one I would encourage you to step into, just like we talked about in our step one. I want you to step into this relationship with Jesus. And you know what? All the details, we'll get figured out. It'll all get figured out and line up, because we serve a good God that cares for you. So church, would you bow your heads with me? If you're in this room, you'd say, I want to step into, I want to take an action step in my life and step into a relationship with Jesus. This moment is for you. So Jesus, would you stir hearts? I pray that people would feel your presence right now, speaking to them specifically. If you're in this room and you're ready to make that decision today, I would just invite you to raise your hand right now if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's the best decision that you will ever make. He loves you. He's for you. He has goodness in store. Yes. Yes. Church, will you pray this prayer with me? We don't want anybody in the room to pray alone, whether you raise your hand or you accepted Jesus in your heart. I want to come alongside you and pray. So church, would you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, I know that I've sinned. I know that I've fallen short. Please forgive me. I receive this gift, the free gift of salvation. Jesus, you are my Lord, and you are my Savior. Today, I choose to follow you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Give a little shout. Give a little shout. Praise God. I'm so glad you came to church. I'll invite the prayer team members up to the front. If you're in the room and this message stirred you, and you are wanting to see the goodness of God in your life, and you're struggling, I want to invite you to come up for prayer, because Jesus sees you and he loves you. And like I shared, prayer, me praying with my roommate changed my life. And so I believe that in one moment you can receive prayer and something will shift in your life. So come up and do that. Take a step. Take a step. It's worth it. We love you, church. Couple things before you leave. Make sure you grab a parking voucher on your way out. And then also, because we're talking about taste and see, praise God, we got some donuts in the back for you, Isilium. So make sure you grab a donut.